Welcome to Golf Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes, along with our co-host, Braxton Hunter. He's an instructor at Fairways and Greens and the TGA Player of the Year and Instructor of the Year. Braxton, how are you?
I'm good, Jimmy. How are you doing this evening?
Doing fantastic. We got a lot to cover, and that includes Olympic golf. But we've got a local tournament that's been one of the favorites for many years, which I think is a tremendous test of one's skills. And then we got the five-star preps event that we're going to cover as well, which I thought just had an amazing performance by the winner of the girls' division. So we've got a lot to cover there. We will jump on our local news and notes, and those are brought to you by Holston Hills Country Club, with memberships tailored to families, corporations, residents, and non-residents. A membership to Holston Hills brings together families, friends, and colleagues for sport and kinship. It's a home of the Corn Ferry Tour event. Find out more at holstonhills.com. So in the Greater Knoxville Amateur, which was played at Holston Hills Country Club, at Green Meadows and Oak Ridge Country Club, Will Collins is the winner. He's a golfer from Carson Newman. He shot 67, 70, and 67 to win. He won it in a second-hole playoff over Tyler Lane. I believe Tyler's won this before. And Tyler shot 67, 67, 70. Now, was the final round played at Holston?
No, they played the final round at Green Meadow.
Okay. Did they start at Oak Ridge and then Holston?
Yes, the championship flight started at Oak Ridge, and then they played Holston Hills, and then finished it up with Green Meadow on Sunday afternoon.
So with all the divisions they have, they would rotate then where you would play.
Yeah, that's correct.
The course. Okay, so Will Collins gets the win. Todd Bergen was in third place. He was 8 under par, shot 66, 71, 71. Antonio Farinelli at Fox Den was 7 under par, and Craig Reeser, who won it last year, was 5 under par. So that's the result in the championship division of the GKA. Braxton, one of the things I like about this, which I think is a great test of one's skill, is that you don't play all the rounds at maybe your, quote, home course. You've got to do this at three different courses, which I think can certainly bring out the best in a player.
Yeah, and it's challenging, Jimmy, because you have basically three different types of grass at those three courses in particular. So you go from Oak Ridge Country Club, where you're playing on Zoysia, and it's kind of teed up in the fairway pretty much every time, to Holston, which, you know, most people that have played Holston understand you got to keep the ball under the hole at Holston, or it can turn into a long day with how fast those greens can typically get. And then you go to Green Meadow that has Bermuda greens and has its challenges and kind of being able to stop the ball around the hole and make some of those putts on those small greens. So it's a cool tournament in the sense you don't get it a lot of times where you have to play maybe three totally different rounds to eventually have the champion, and great scores this year too by the guys. I mean, it was some really good scoring at all three golf courses.
So the senior division was won by Steve Gallier. He shot 68, 70, 71. He was 7 under par. Bill Oliver of Gatlinburg was at 2 under par in second, and Jeff Gallier was at even. Jeff won this senior division a year ago. The super senior, David Dooley, was 7 over, and he ended up winning it. The legends was Jim Gillespie. He won in a first-hole playoff over Rock Saraceni. Each was at 21 over for the three rounds. Gillespie had a final round of 73, so tremendous playing by him on that last day. I don't know, maybe you can help me with this. The GK regular, Hayden Echols, won it. What's the regular mean?
So they just have like a regular flight, basically, that'll play just the standard men's tees. And, you know, it's for typically those that don't feel like they have a chance or can compete with some of the players that are going to shoot under par. So, you know, it gives another option to play in the tournament and not necessarily feel like you don't have a chance to win.
And then the GKA regular second flight. Oh, so Hayden Echols wins that. He kind of runs these pro-ams around here. He does a terrific job with that. And then the regular in the second flight was Will Faust. So that's a look at the Greater Knoxville Amateur. Okay, Carson Kamen, we had him on last week talking about qualifying for the U.S. Amateur. He wins the five-star preps event that was sponsored by Brad Rose. It was held at Three Ridges Golf Course. And Kamen, a rising senior at West, shot 135. That's 9 under par. He won by 4 shots over Jade Morrell, a sophomore at Bearden. Kamen shot 66-69. And he's headed to the state amateur next week in Chattanooga. He's got the U.S. Amateur August the 9th through the 15th at Oakmont. Cameron made a clutch 15-foot par putt on 15. Then he eagled 17 with a chip in from 40 feet. That put it away. But Carson Kamen playing some really good golf right now, Bryce.
Yeah, and similar to the GKA this past weekend, they played the first round at Oak Ridge and then the second round at Three Ridges. So they played two different golf courses and the five-star prep. So it kind of had that same flavor to it in a sense. And, you know, Carson's been playing phenomenally. And I would tab him as one of the favorites at the state amateur this week. And I wouldn't be surprised if he contended and had a chance to win by the end of the week.
Yeah, and his father, Scott, is a former Tennessee golfer who played twice in the U.S. Amateur in the 1990s. And in the 1995 quarterfinals, he was eliminated, Scott Kamen was, by Tiger Woods.
Yeah, pretty good person to get beat by, let's just say that.
Yeah, if I'm going to lose, it's going to be the Tiger, by golly. So anyway, good history there, and congratulations to Carson for that performance. And then we mentioned Jay Morrell. He shot 69-70. He was 5 under par. Third place went to Ethan Whitaker. He won this event as a freshman last year. He shot 70 in the final day. He was 4 under par for the tournament. The CAK boys won the team title at 12 over for the fourth year in a row they won it. Halls was second. Kingston was third. On the girls' side, Sydney Branson was the winner. She shot 73-74, which is 3 over par. And what makes this extraordinary, she's from Bearden, what makes it extraordinary was 3 years ago in the tournament, she shot 260. So she shot 260 3 years ago. This year she shot 147. 2 years ago she shot 132, 128.
Yeah,
that's remarkable.
It's just cool about the game, and it'll be interesting to get her perspective here in a few minutes on kind of what led that change, and because obviously it goes without saying that is a dramatic change from shooting right around par to shooting 260 for two rounds. So, you know, just to see that process and kind of what led to that breakthrough in her game will be interesting to hear from her perspective.
Yep, she credited her dad, her hard work, and Brad Rose for that improvement. She beat Kingston's Briley Krause by one shot. Lauren Davis of Halls shot 76 in the final round, 73 in the first round. She was in third place. On the girls' side, Halls won the team title. Bearden was second. Maryville was third. Also, the Pro-Am at Sevierville, Paul Moody won the Pro Division with a 72. The first-place team was Scott Moran with a 74, Ricky Moore with a 72. When your second player in one of these team formats shoots 72, that's pretty good. I'm sorry, he was the first player. The second player was Tommy Scott with a 73. So you got the pro 74, then Ricky Moore 72, Tommy Scott 73, Ken Langdon with a 90. Other notable scores, Gene Hines shot a 72, and Rick Finger, who was the number two player. What they do is if I remember this right, if you're from like scratch to a six handicap, you're designated an A player. The
correct.
B player's like 7 to 13. So Rick Finger is a 7 to 13 handicap, shot of 71. That's pretty strong. So anyway, those are other notable scores. Oak Ridge Country Club is the site for the next Pro-Am. The Harold Eller Pro-Am at Old Hickory Golf Course. Braxton, your team finished tied for 15th in that event, correct, at 19 under?
That is correct. We just didn't. We birdied all the same holes, so it wasn't a good, what you would call brother-in-law or ham and egg. Like, we never really got any momentum to have a good enough score to have a chance to win. And you'll see, you know, you're getting ready to tell it, but like 26 under is pretty strong for two rounds.
Yes.
At Old Hickory Country Club.
Yeah. That was, and I don't know the locals
on
this.
Scott Wilson, Brad Pesterfield, Braden Ware, and Matt Copeland. Green Meadow kind of team. They're, you know, Scott Wilson's the pro there at Green Meadow. They shot 12 under the first round, and then they shot 14 under the second round. And that is not a scramble, folks. That's a best ball. So that is one ball counting for the whole group. So they made I believe, if I have it correct, they made 14 birdies. They had, no eagles. So they made 14 birdies out of 18 holes that second round. Pretty dang goodness. Impressive.
And there's no handicapping in this.
No,
this
is no your, handicap. Yeah. Straight up.
Wow. The second place team at 25 under. I know there's some local players in that group.
Yeah, Casey Flinnick and Rick Mays, Bob Rice, and Mike Poe. Really good team. And they shot 15 the second round. They started off 10 under the first day, and then they kind of had one of those kind of same thing. They were actually 13 under, I believe, after 12 holes. So they had it rolling really good kind of and didn't play quite as good coming down the stretch, or they would have had a big, let's say, one of the biggest comebacks I've ever seen in one of our Tennessee PGA events.
Man, that's remarkable how low they're playing. Old Hickory's not that easy, is it?
No, and it's I would say similar to Green Meadow in the sense that it has the Bermuda greens that are fairly tough to get the ball close to the hole. It's not a very long golf course, so you can make a decent amount of birdies, but to do it the way those guys did was pretty impressive, to say the least.
Yeah. Was there another local team worth noting that in the Harold Eller Pro-Am at Old Hickory Golf Course?
No, not really. Let's see. I think it goes all the way down to tied for 12th. So, no, it was pretty much those two at the top, and then the rest of the top 10 were really mostly middle and West Tennessee teams.
Okay. Local note, so we got Caleb Wilson at CAK. He is committed to Virginia Tech. He is back-to-back.
West Virginia, sorry. Sorry to interrupt.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
West Virginia.
Yep, sorry. He is the back-to-back winner of the Cherokee Country Club Men's Championship. So he won that two in a row. So congratulations to Caleb Wilson.
Yeah, and that's nothing to sneeze at, Jimmy. I mean, they've got some really good players at Cherokee, so that's a really good accomplishment, and good on Caleb. Congratulations to him for his commitment to West Virginia.
Yeah. So, congratulations to him. All right, let's go to our Knox Area Player of the Week. That's brought to you by Donnie Dean Cosmetic Dentistry. Don't lose time on the golf course because of your bad crown. Go see Dr. Donnie Dean for your CEREC one-day crown and enjoy more time playing golf. Knox Area Player of the Week could have been a lot of folks, but we're going with Will Collins. If you win the GKA, the Greater Knoxville Amateur, that's pretty special. Honorable mention would go to Beard and Sidney Branson, and also go to Carson Kamen for what they did. But Will Collins with that win. What background do you know about Will Collins?
Will's Hall's graduate and currently plays at Carson Newman University for Coach Randy Wiley, and he's had a solid career, and obviously with his play this week, you can see he has the potential to be one of the best players in their conference. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs this fall and the spring for Carson Newman, but phenomenal playing by him at the GKA this week.
Yeah. And that always has a really good feel. So, yeah.
And I won't say record breaking, but a really good performance last year at the Beaverbrook, shot two really low scores, and it's in there for sure. So it's cool to see that, those low scores come out, and to be able to sustain that for three rounds is pretty impressive.
Yeah. All right. So Will Collins, our Knox Area Player of the Week. So a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk about the Olympics. We'll talk about the performance by Xander Schauffele. We've also got some topics coming your way. We've got a golf tip. We've got an equipment tip. And then later in the show, we're going to be joined at 7:40 by Walt Chapman, who's an instructor at Fairways and Greens, who played in the Senior British Open. But coming up next, it's going to be Sidney Branson. She is the product of Bearden, who won the girls' division of the five-star preps tournament. So we look forward to catching up with her when we return. With Braxton Hunter, I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Golf Talk. Welcome back to Golf Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes, along with Braxton Hunter, instructor at Fairways and Green. We are pleased now to be joined by a very special guest, and that is Sidney Branson. She is a product of Bearden High School, and she was the winner in the girls' division of the five-star preps tournament. Sidney, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, we're doing fantastic. Just tell us about how much fun you had playing in the five-star event that was held at, Oak Ridge Country Club and Three Ridges, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Were you pretty optimistic about your game going in?
Yes, I was. The first day I was just like getting out there to play, wasn't worried about anything, and just trying to keep it really good mentally.
And I've got to ask you about this, because I read where 3 years ago your combined score in this event was 260, and this past year it was 147. That is remarkable improvement. How in the world did you get that much better in 3 years?
I would say I had a lot of help along the way with, like, Byron from Fairways, Brad Rose, who I just recently started seeing in the winter, and then my dad and uncle have been pushing, grinding it out with me at practice. So,
if I shot those scores, I might have had a tendency to play another sport. Were you discouraged at all with your golf game 3 years ago?
Well, that tournament was actually my first tournament ever and first 18 holes played. So I think that tournament kind of set me up realizing that I wanted to get better in the game and do golf as my new sport.
I'll say this, Sydney, it's a story you can tell for a really long time to go, you know, the same golf tournament from 3 years prior to now is pretty incredible. Just talk about, you know, having the lead or tied for the lead going into the second day, kind of what your thoughts were and kind of how you felt sleeping on that lead overnight and what the mindset was going out that second day.
Well, I was pretty happy with what I shot and was just kind of thinking no matter what I shot the second day, I'd be proud of what I'd done because, you know, I'd put in so much hard work and it's finally paying off. But I was thinking I was underestimated and wasn't really expected to get that. So I was like, you know, if we shoot a good score today, people would be like, wow, that's good for her. And just, I was just really excited to see what would happen.
Yeah, and I mean, talk to the listeners about just kind of how it feels to come down the stretch and have a chance to win the golf tournament and to ultimately, you know, pull it out by one shot at the end.
Well, it does feel pretty good, but it just felt like all the work I've been doing is like paying off and that I can keep going really far in this game if I just keep getting out there and trusting myself every shot I take.
I mean, I can attest because I'm at Fairways and Greens obviously quite a bit, and I see you out there kind of grinding and practicing on your game quite a bit. Just talk about, you know, that aspect and how that hard work ultimately paid off and will pay off in the future some more.
Yeah, I practice every day with my dad at Fairways, and some days getting out there, it's a lot harder than it usually is because just the idea of having to go there every single day to practice. But ultimately, it pays off, that's for sure. And you just got to keep together mentally. And if you're not hitting it good on the range, you can always turn it around whenever you're playing on the course. Sure.
Our guest is Sydney Branson, the winner of the 5-Star Prep Masters in the girls' division. Sydney, just talk about your improvement through the years. I'm going to assume you got better at everything, your driver, your iron play, short iron, short game, putting, and everything. Was there one area that it took you a little bit longer to master in terms of where you were 3 years ago?
Yes, for sure. Like chipping and putting, obviously, it takes a lot of time to work up to that. So, like, at the beginning, I was mostly just, like, down the fairway, and that's what I had to rely on. And if I got down there, I was just hoping I'd get on the green, putt it out, move on to the next hole. But besides that, like, my swing gotten out of my over-the-top swing. So that's also helped me get farther down the fairway and get better on my approach shots.
So what do you consider the strength of your game right now?
Probably my length, because as far as I hit it, I can get down there closer, and then I'll just have like a short chip up. So.
Talk about kind of your schedule coming up, Sydney. Are you going to play anything besides just kind of the high school schedule this fall, or just kind of stick to the high school schedule?
I plan on playing some Hurricane and AJGA this summer. Like, I'm currently playing a Hurricane right now in Nashville, so trying to get some scores out there so maybe some colleges can see me. So.
What are you a rising senior at Bearden?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So you obviously, it sounds like your goal is to try to get a college scholarship, correct?
Correct.
Have you had much interest from anybody so far?
COVID kind of put a halt in all the college coaches mm-hmm. reaching out to me. So none as of now have reached out, but that might change in the season.
You mentioned COVID. Do you feel like during COVID that maybe you had a chance to work on your game and show significant improvement, even though a lot of things were shut down around the area?
Yes, I did. With the range being continued to open and then a lot of the courses still open, I was able to work even more on my game and then focus on that instead of just having to sit at home and wait around.
Cindy, we mentioned you shot 73, 74. What's your personal best? What's the lowest you've shot?
69.
Where was that?
That was at Lambert Acres. That was just this Thursday, actually, so.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, Sydney. You keep shooting scores like that, and the college coaches will come out of the woodworks, I promise.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. Sydney, do you play any other sports?
No, I do not. I only play golf at the moment.
Did you play other sports previously?
I played volleyball and did tumbling.
Okay. But now your focus is only on golf?
Okay. Yes, correct.
How did you get started playing golf in the first place?
Well, I kind of went through every sport and was like, I need something to keep me occupied. And my uncle and dad play golf. So I was like, I'll try this out and see what happens because it's something I can continuously get better at instead of just learning a skill and getting it down.
You certainly have gotten better at it. Congratulations. Now, was that the first tournament you've won?
Yes, it is.
Well, that had to be a really, really nice feeling.
It was, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, Cindy, thank you for joining us. Congratulations on winning the 5-Star Prep Masters, and continued success to you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sydney. Appreciate it.
And that is Sydney Branson. What a remarkable story to show that kind of. Have you ever heard of somebody improving that much, Brian? You've been
no.
in this game a long time.
not to that level. Now, granted, that was right when she began. So, you know, you think about some of the beginners that I've taught. I mean, maybe, but not from shooting, basically averaging 130 on two rounds to 147, which is 3 over par. So, I mean, it's one of the most remarkable improvements. And that in that amount of time, I mean, granted, 3 years isn't like 3 days, but 3 years in golf is still a short amount of time to get that much improved, and that's pretty impressive to say the least.
Sound like she used that time during COVID to really improve.
Absolutely,
her game as well,
so. No question.
All right, congratulations to her. Let's now get our golf tip in. That's brought to you by Fairways and Greens. Practice made perfect. They handle club fitting. They also have the Top Tracer that illustrates your distance, your apex, your curve. You can play virtually on several world-famous courses. Call 777-GOLF. That's 777-4653. When to go for a drivable par 4. I was watching the Olympics, and they had a hole that was about 340-something yards. Everybody I watched went for it, the par 4. When would be your advice to go for a drivable par 4? Would that depend on how much trouble's around the green? Would it also depend on how accurate you are as a driver?
I can just hear Scott Stallings in my ear right now saying, anytime you can, go for it. But it's like, to me, a few things. Number one, you've got to be able to have somewhat control of your driver to get it up and around the green if there is trouble around the green. You know, we've talked about number 16 at Holston before, and mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of right in that range where if you can fly it over those two fairway bunkers, it's a fairly easy chip if you don't get it all the way up to the green. But it also brings in trouble if you pull it. You can kind of get over into the weeds, and if you leave it out to the right and you get a bad kick, you bring out of bounds into play. So it's kind of just how you feel on a hole similar to that, or the one in the Olympics where, you know, most of those guys are hitting it so within a certain amount straight that they feel like they're going to get it up there around the green and have a chance to get it up and down if they don't get it on the green. So, you know, my advice to people would be, as long as you have decent control of your driver, to hit it up as close to the green as possible. I mean, you're going to be able to hit it closer from closer than further away. I mean, I'll hear it a lot where people say, oh, my favorite distance is 120 yards. Well, I can promise you, if I put myself at 20 yards and whoever at 120, that I'm going to get it in closer than they are on average from 20 yards than they will from 120. It's just a statistical fact.
And some of this would have would be dictated by how much trouble's around the green, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if there's, you know, there's a couple of holes that I could think about, you know, off the top of my head. There's number 11 at Chattanooga Golf and Country Club that's like surrounded by water. And unless you have the perfect wind, it might be better to lay back and not necessarily challenge the green. But if the wind's blowing the correct way, I mean, you can get it up there right around the green and not even really bring the water into play. So it's kind of one of those like pick and choose kind of holes.
Most every time I watch a PGA event and they've got one of these drivable par fours, the people that go for the green score better on average than those that lay up.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, you know, with the shot link data that they've gotten through the years, it's kind of dictated how people do play. So it's like you see the statistics and you've got a better chance to make birdie, even par, from hitting driver and getting it right around the green versus, oh, I'm going to lay it back to my favorite number. And then I'm not going to say you're going to chunk it in the water, but like say you hit a poor shot from 120 yards, you might miss the green. I mean, if you hit a poor shot from 20 yards, you're more than likely probably still going to hit the green. Even if you kind of stink from that distance a little bit, maybe you could just at least bump it up there or kind of take your putter out and putt it up there. I mean, you can get it on the green from 20 yards and close to the hole a lot better than further away.
All right. That is our golf tip. Let's get to our equipment tip. Our equipment tip brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf Shop, home with a 90-day, 100% satisfaction guarantee. They've been serving golfers in the Southeast since 1968. They also carry all major golf brands located in Turkey Creek. Gloves. I don't know what if you've ever had any issues. I played over the weekend. It was pretty hot, and these guys were just sweating right through their gloves. I wonder if there's a tip about using gloves in hot weather, cold weather, whether it's a wet day or not. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, a few things. Number one would be how much you sweat. I mean, different people have different amounts that they sweat. If you're a heavy sweater, to me, like I would get a couple of gloves and maybe two or three gloves and kind of rotate throughout the round. Like I'll see a lot of people that kind of have sweaty hands do that. And that way they're not just soaking through one glove and it's done in a couple of holes. So, I mean, to me personally, I don't really necessarily sweat like profusely in my hands. So I'll use one glove and just kind of make sure I don't, you know, if it's a really hot day, that I'm not like putting it in my back pocket the whole time. And then all of a sudden it gets more sweaty, you know, because it's on me. So I've seen some people use two. I think that takes away some of the feel. I like to have as much feel as possible. Mm-hmm. The left-hand glove for a right-handed golfer just provides a little bit more tack or stick to the hand. It's just makes it a little bit easier to hold the golf club without having to squeeze it very hard. So, you know, I'll use gloves. Maybe I'll use the two-glove system on, I mean, if it would have to be really raining hard, like, and most of the time when it's raining that hard, you're either not playing or you've been called in for the day. But if it gets to that point, FootJoy actually makes a really good pair of a two glove, like rain glove, and you can get it wet and it actually works better the wetter it gets. So if you have like, I'll dip my hands in water and it's like, they tack up really good. Now it takes away a little bit of the feel you would have on a normal, like, say if the weather's good, but it still gives you an opportunity to hold the golf club. Cause I've been there before where, you know, back in late '90s or early 2000s, they didn't have really that good of technology in that area. And I can remember like almost losing the golf club when it was raining and never wanting that feeling again. So make sure you have the gloves you need to play, whether it's hot, cold, wet, you know, make sure you have the gloves for that kind of condition.
Do you like to break in your glove any, or would you just put on a new glove and you're ready to roll?
No, with the new ones, they're so, I mean, it's almost like getting new shoes now. I mean, they're already kind of broken in and ready to go right when you put it on. What I would say to do is, and the golf store might not like this too much, but like make sure the glove fits at the store, because a lot of times it might just slightly be different. So say you have a, like me personally, I wear a cadet medium large. So I'll make sure like that it fits just like it kind of needs to. Some of them might be a little bit thicker, you know, whatever they've done in the factory, like they're not going to make every one of them exactly the same. So making sure, I just like to kind of make sure that it fits the way it should.
All right. That is our equipment tip brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf. When we come back, we will be joined by Walt Chapman, Director of Golf Instruction at Fairways and Greens, who played recently in the Senior British Open. With Braxton Hunter, I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Golf Talk. Welcome back to Golf Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Braxton Hunter. Pleased now to be joined by Walt Chapman, Director of Golf Instruction at Fairways and Greens. Walt, how are you?
Good, Jimmy. Thanks for having me on. Braxton, how are you?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. So you had the opportunity to play in the Senior British Open. What was that, your third Senior British?
That was my second Senior British.
Your second one. Okay. Tell me about the experience. What did you like? How did things go over there?
It's pretty neat. You know, golf is obviously different over there, but what was unique about this year was it was in England instead of Scotland. The other venues, you know, in Scotland, are you're playing usually on the coast. This one was called what's a Parkland course. So it still had a lot of the, you know, wind and, you know, the bunkering, but it's it looks a little more like an American golf course, which I think was an advantage for me.
I was going to ask you, when you play in the Senior British Open, are there things that you work on with your game that you think are unique to playing in the Senior British Open?
Oh, sure. It's definitely controlling your flight and being able to hit low shots with irons and control the trajectory. That's really what it comes down to. In fact, you almost, at times, you have to hit chip shots with your irons if the wind is really blowing hard. So it's a different game over there.
Walt, talk a little bit about the qualification process for this. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think you had to actually go over there to try to qualify in the past. Like, how did that change, and kind of talk everybody through the qualifying process for getting in the Senior British Open?
That's true. Yeah, normally you have to go over there and spend about 12 days, because you got to get over there early, play practice rounds and the qualifying's over there. So, but because of COVID this year, I decided to have an American site up in Akron, Ohio at Firestone. So I originally signed up to go over to England to qualify, but when I saw this, I changed it. And it was probably not the best thing to do, because they had 125 players at the Firestone site and only 10 spots available. And, you know, half of those players were the, you know, the senior, the normal senior tour players, Champions Tour players were in there. So it was a lot more difficult qualifying. It turned out the qualifying they had over in England was much easier, but I played well in Firestone and was able to get in the tournament. So that did make things easier going over there, because I knew I was already in the tournament. I could make arrangements for that.
Talk about, fine play, obviously, the first couple of days, and got yourself in a position there at 5 under par with a few holes left, and kind of talk us through the mental side of kind of having that kind of stretch of really good play and kind of getting up on the leaderboard and being close to the lead.
Yeah, it's funny. My caddy, Brian Whitehead, you may have heard of him, very good player caddy for me in the last two or three of these majors. And, you know, I've gotten in a lot of these majors and really not had that much success. And we've been working on just changing the strategy, a little more conservative. And we're going along the first day. And Braxton, you know, when we play our events in the state, you know, basically you're trying to birdie every hole. Well, that didn't work too well with the way they set the golf course up and pins. So we're trying to play a little different strategy. And I've been struggling with that. And we kind of, in the middle of the first round, my caddy had a very strong conversation with me, which kind of hit home. And from then on, things started working a lot better for us. Interesting story. The second round, when I started playing pretty good, there were some young spectators out there, and I noticed they were having fun, because golf's a little different over there as opposed to the American crowds. They're a little more subdued and quiet. Well, these kids were kind of having fun. I went over and engaged with them and talked with them a little bit. I noticed they were drinking beer, so we were talking, and they started cheering for me, and they were kind of getting excited. And I bought them in between the holes. I bought them some beer. I had some time. And the minute I did that, it was like a football game out there. They were screaming and yelling every shot I hit. In fact, even one of the officials on the 15th hole came over and said, "Guys, y'all are going to have to settle down a little bit." So I was really feeding off of them. It really helped me get kind of excited. So that was a unique situation.
That's awesome. Do you have any, I know you played with Woody Austin in the final round. Do you have any kind of good stories on maybe playing a practice round with any of the names that people would know, or kind of playing with Woody that last day?
Yeah, that was pretty good playing with Woody. You know, he kind of has his emotions on his sleeve sometimes, get angry, but he was fun to play with, and I was playing well, so that made it better. And it was kind of neat that Sunday. We were warming up on the putting green, and Jim Furyk's up there, and he just happened to walk by and said hello to me. And my caddy looked at him, and he said, and my caddy said, "Chapman, you realize it's Sunday in a major, and Jim Furyk is playing in the group in front of you." He said, "I think you're doing pretty good right now." So I said, "You're right." "You're right."
Hey, well, what did you end up shooting at Firestone to qualify with so many 125 players for 10 spots? What did you shoot?
I shot a 68. And you're not going to believe this. I made about a 12 footer for birdie on 17, and then 18. We thought we were in easy because it was playing hard. The wind was blowing, and 18 is a very difficult par four. And I'm just trying to, you know, just finish the hole, make a bogey at worst. And I ended up having about a 12 footer for par. And I'm just trying to make sure I two putt it. And I knocked the thing in. And before I hit the putt, everybody on the green is going, "Oh, you're in, Chapman. Just two putt this and you're in." Well, we get in. If I missed that putt, I would have been in a playoff, 10 guys for one spot. and that putt going in got me in. If I'd missed that putt, none of the alternates got in the golf tournament because of COVID again. Nobody was going to travel over there.
Sure.
So, it's really incredible that I even got in the tournament.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. Hey, do you have any other events coming up that you're looking to qualify for, or some big-name tournaments?
Let's see. In Braxton, we've got our state section championship next week over in Jackson, Tennessee. So that's an event that gets us in the National Club Pro. So that's going to be the next event coming up.
Well, Walt, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on making it to the Senior British Open. Quite an accomplishment in its own right. And again, thanks for joining us. We'll keep up with you, and continued success on the golf course.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Braxton.
Thanks, Walt.
Appreciate it. And that is Walt Chapman, director of golf instruction at Fairways and Greens. That's amazing. He thought he had just two putt from 12 feet. He makes it. Otherwise.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's one of those things, and it just kind of shows how fine the line is sometimes. Like, you go and he's thinking coming into that hole, he's got people in his ear like, "Oh, yeah, you're in if you just don't screw up this last hole, you know, make a five, make a bogey, and you're still in." And then all of a sudden you're not. You know, I've told people a lot of times, and you'll get it if you get an alternate spot, a lot of times people will be like, oh, you're going to get in anyway. You know, somebody will drop out. Well, you know, we talked to Todd Bergen and, you know his story of going up to the U.S. Senior Open and sitting there for 3 days basically as the first alternate for the tournament and not getting in. So it's just never guaranteed in this game. So good thing that putt went in. Let's just say that.
Our interview with Walt brought to you by Willow Creek, one of the top public courses in East Tennessee. Willow Creek's hosted the Knoxville Open, the Tennessee State Open, and U.S. Open qualifying. To make a tee time, call 675-0100, 675-0100. All right, time for our topics, and our topics are brought to you by LADS. Since 1963, LADS has been providing newer used club car golf carts and utility vehicles. Stop by and test drive the new club car onward. Visit LADSonline.com or call 865-531-6277. So we just had the Olympics in golf. Xavier Xander Schauffele ends up winning it. How big do you think the Olympics are in golf, Braxton? Would you compare it to any of the majors or not?
I think it will be at some point. I think it's too early in the process of golf being back in the Olympics to have that major championship feel. I mean, I didn't feel like it was watching a major when I was watching it. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't think it's like the coolest thing in the world that Xander got to win a gold medal. And I think anybody that played in it with zero prize money on the line, you know, felt like they wasted their time going over there. I mean, you can hear Rory's comments to Paul Casey's to a lot of these guys that, you know, maybe didn't dismiss it necessarily, but thought, you know, I could use that week to rest up for Memphis, or, you know, just the rigors of the PGA Tour schedule. And that kind of, in my opinion, I guess watered it down in a sense with some of the guys not coming. But at the same time, I think, and we talked about it a lot, I think they need to add some kind of team element to it. Like, I think there's, to have all those guys there and only three medals, and that's the only way you can win a medal, it just kind of seems maybe one of the most difficult medals to win, in a sense.
How clutch was Xander Schauffele's par on 18?
So that, clutch. And I think
A lob wedge, same wedge, whatever, he hit to 4 feet.
And I think that getting over that hump, because he had never won in that kind of position, like having the lead, holding the lead, you know, hit the poor tee shot on the par five, kind of lucky to make a six, to be honest, and then, you know, poor tee shot there on 18 and has to punch out, wedges it to about 5-6 feet, and then just holds that putt to win the gold medal. And I mean, I can say from my perspective, like, I grew up a swimmer and a golfer, so the Olympics meant something to me. So it's kind of cool, like, almost, I won't say I like teared up, but like, it's just cool to see like him standing on that podium to get a gold medal. Like, I couldn't imagine that feel. Like, that would be so cool. So from that aspect, like, and I think that's what you kind of got a sense of. I mean, Justin Thomas made like a very large, long post on Instagram today about just the significance of being able to represent the USA and the Olympics. So it was just pretty cool. If anybody gets the opportunity, go to his Instagram and kind of look at his perspective as somebody that wasn't even in contention and goes out and shoots. I think he shot like 6 or 7 under that last day just to basically finish tied for 13th or something like that. That didn't mean anything in the medal, you know, portion of the Olympics. So that was pretty cool to see.
All right, that's our topic. It is brought to you by LADS. Now time for our pro news and notes, brought to you by Three Ridges. Set in the shadows of the Great Smoky Mountains, Three Ridges Golf Course is one of Knoxville's premier public golf facilities. It challenges all ages and skill levels. Visit knoxcounty.org. So we've talked about the Olympics, and by the way, Rory Sabatini shoots a 61. That's an Olympic record. He finishes second, wins the silver. And then in a 7-man playoff, CT Pan ends up beating out Colin Morikawa on the last hole. The others had been eliminated along the way, including Hideki Matsuyama and Rory McIlroy and others. Also, the Senior Women's Open. Annika Sorenstam wins by 8 shots over Sweden's Liselotte Newman. Of course, Annika Sorenstam is from Sweden. She had had a 64 early in the tournament. She had asked her kids, they're like 11 and 10, 12 and 10, whatever, if they wanted to see their mom play golf. They said, yes. She said, well, I'm going to have to leave, take some time away from the family to do that. They said, okay. She wins by 8. My God.
You don't think she's any good, do you? I mean, think about it. I mean, she hasn't played she came and played, I think she played one tournament at her home course at Lake Nona that they had earlier this year. She went out and played the celebrity tournament at Lake Tahoe, and no offense to the celebrity tournament, but it's not set up that difficult, I promise. And then to go win a USGA championship with people that are playing all the time. Those players that she's playing against aren't just out on a, they're not just out on a whatever you want to call it, tour. Like, hey, this is like just ceremonial, I guess, you know, and it's unbelievable her skill and being able to practice and do that in that short of amount of time. I mean, it just shows how good she is.
Do you think she's the greatest female golfer of all time?
Yeah, and I think had she not retired so early, I think it would be, you wouldn't even have to ask that question. But, you know, that is kind of that, it doesn't, she won't statistically be the best female player of all time just because of that element in it.
Yep. There's not a whole lot going on this weekend, by the way, in golf. There's the the Barracuda Championships are being played.
Yeah, the FedEx St. Jude as well this weekend,
which is a world golf
championship at Memphis.
So I didn't see anything. I think the LPGA is off. The Korn Ferry, I think, is playing the Utah Championship.
That's correct. Yep.
But there's just not much going on. And of course they took off for the Olympics. To allow them to play.
Yeah, and we talked just briefly during the break about it just feels weird to not have a major in August, like something to look forward to. It's just kind of a strain. It still doesn't set in that there's not a major championship this month with the PGA being moved to May.
Yeah, it certainly is a bit strange. And by the way, with Golf Talk, so this is our 17th edition. We'll have 3 more Golf Talks. We look forward to that. Look forward to bringing you more next week. As well. So we do appreciate those that listen. We appreciate our sponsors as well. Braxton, what you got going on? Anything?
Just getting ready for our section championship next week. So I'll be in in Jackson next week, remote on our Golf Talk experience.
Good luck with that.
Thank
this
you
has
very
been
much.
Golf Talk.